Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fantastic edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined today by two gentlemen who surprisingly ghostwrite a lot of the top hip-hop tracks you hear every day, Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, good day.
Yo, 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 yo.
Finally good just for my words to be spoken and be attached to my real name.
Have you, are there any particular hip-hop artists that you want to share that you've ghostwritten for?
I wrote for Big Sean. I wrote the wubbity, ass. I wrote that.
I know, that was actually a glossary term.
I co-wrote with Little John. I work on choruses with him. So, yeah, that was partly me. What?
Wubbity, 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 ass.
Well, there's a lot of baseball to talk today. And I want to start in St. Louis because I'm not as concerned with Lance Berkman missing a couple months because of his torn meniscus. I'm actually intrigued by Matt Adams, who they called up. And here's why I'm intrigued. Matt Adams, he's a career raker in the minor leagues. Great contact, a little bit of power. If I'm not mistaken, he's a career 318 hitter in the minors. I don't think he got a lot of hype with all the big-name prospects this year, but I kind of like Matt Adams. What do you think about that, Rudy?
Well, I actually saw him a week or two ago in Round Rock. So for those that may know, I live in Austin, so we've got the AAA team for the Rangers here. So I went to a game, and it was pretty I was pretty pissed because Leonis Martin was hurt. But, yeah, Matt Adams looks like Matt Stairs. He's like Matt Stairs' doppelganger, at least from the neck down. I was like screaming, give Matt Stairs his body back.
He's a chunky but, little fella.
But he's basically the sequel of the professional hitter. His stats this year in AAA, you have to discount that basically he's in the Pacific Coast League, and all the stats are ridiculous in terms of power. But, I mean, you go back to his AA. Yeah, basically look through his stats. Yeah, he's got legit power, and yeah, he had a homer the game I was there, and it wasn't. It was definitely a legit one. I think that the concern I'm going to have for him is he hasn't shown great plate control. Yeah, he doesn't walk a lot in the minors.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because he eats too much. Which led
that's actually right. He showed no sense of plate control. His K rate's been fine in the minors. You know, I think I find when guys like this come up and they don't have the play control, that they just get abused in the minors with some good breaking pitches in dirt. So I think he's a great low risk pickup, but my guess is he's going to have his struggles just like Carpenter has had. You know, put up some decent stats, but you're definitely not getting a full replacement for Lance Berkman.
Great defense.
How about a full replacement for Eric Hosmer?
Well, I mean, you don't need much there. I mean, what's his WAR is probably under zero. So any basically AAA first baseman will give you what Hosmer's been giving you.
It's war.
You're so bitter
war,
about
war. What is Hosmer good for?
we're trying to keep this a Hosmer-free episode.
Frenchie was hurting for a while. Now Frenchie's on fire. The Yanks can't get Francoeur out. Hosmer's got to be next.
I'd hope so. Let's not talk about Hosmer.
And then maybe Gordon. Gordon hasn't been that good this year either.
No.
Your ex crush.
Yeah, we broke up.
So just humor me, Gray, because I think Matt Adams is kind of intriguing. Can you give me a current MLB comp for him? I mean, someone he might project to. Is he Billy Butler-ish?
I was actually going to say Billy Butler. He, body size and contact rate, moves, all very similar. He could possibly get maybe 15 homers and hit for fairly decent average. It depends. It really depends on the in the short term form, because if he struggles and Berkman comes back, then he's not going to be staying with the club. So he's got to hit.
All right, fair enough. I'm just going to you know what? I'm going to make a bullshit projection right now. I think Matt Adams is actually going to have a really nice year and outside chance to contend for the National League Rookie of the Year.
He's like 1-for-12. Where's this coming from?
I believe.
I watched him in yesterday's game, and he looked completely fooled by a couple pitches. He definitely, I don't know. I mean, he definitely has a nice, swing. It looked like he made contact with one ball that went foul, and it was a solid foul ball, if there's such a thing. And I'm no scout, but he didn't look great when I saw him in the game. But yeah, I mean, he could get hot and stay up and play all year.
I think the only chance of a Cardinal outperforming like that is if they're 35.
Did I say Matt Adams? I meant Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper might win.
Why don't the Cardinals call up Derek Lee? Or Lyle Overbay. I'm sure they'll go basically like 330 homer pace the rest of the year.
Hey, the Jays just waved Adam Lind. He's available.
No, he's not old enough.
Well, he's got a bad enough contract. All right, listen, there's a couple.
He's raking in AAA now.
Oh, don't even get me started with Adam Lind. But there's two other guys that I wanted to bring up today, because they're guys that I'm not personally able to evaluate anymore, and maybe that Matt Adams was a great segue into this part of the show.
You've got a certain rage toward them. They've burned you before.
It's not even rage. It's you know what? I was going to say it's a third base bias, but there's two guys I'd like to bring up. Let's start. We'll go to Ryan Zimmerman, but let's start Gray with David Wright. What's going on?
Why don't you write about him more, Greg?
Yeah, maybe I should mention him on the site. Right now, he's hitting, I think, .415 from the last comment I got berating me about David Wright. He's, a 295, 300 hitter, usually. I don't think he's going to stay hitting .400, and he's hitting for absolutely no power. I think the last home run he hit was about... I think he has one homer in the last month, and he has around 15 steal speed. So, I mean, right now is the time to sell on David Wright.
You don't think his .477 balls in play average is going to sustain?
No, probably not.
It's the new Metco Park Factor.
He's finally figured out the Metco thing.
Yeah, there's a vet in the short right field. There's a vacuum that sucks the ball down onto the ground.
I think he trained with like some cricket players, so he's able to figure out, you know, get good bat control, figure out where all the holes are.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he's working some telekinesis.
I like the cricket reference. Little Indian Premier League cricket.
Yeah, no, that's for all the Indian, Pakistani, and Australian fans out there. Oh, and yeah. I think the Brits play it too.
I give them a shout out every time someone hurts their patella.
All right, Rudy, what about Ryan Zimmerman then?
Or Pittsburgh signs another minor league pitcher.
Get a $1 million arm.
Forget about Dominican Republic. India is where it's at.
We're recruiting out of India.
You're laughing, what, but
you don't get a strike if you bounce it.
That googly ball was totally in the strike zone.
Sticky wicket.
All right, Ryan's,
what other third, what other Ryan third Zimmerman. Baseman we got?
Ryan Zimmerman, Rudy, because...
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not a...
Oh, he's killing me. I think, why do we have to bring up all the guys that are killing my team? Yeah.
No, I mean, David Wright has put up, you know, a number of good years, and any reservation I've had on him remains that he hasn't shown he could hit. You know, he has his challenges with power at Metco. I think Wright... 320 homer, 15 stolen base, definitely possible. Zimmerman, on the other hand, has had maybe like I just don't believe him. He has health issues. I think he's good, but he's always gone way too early in drafts and for way too much for my taste. I think him and Youkilis have kind of competed in that. You know, they had one good year for whatever reason. When a third baseman has a good year, people really stick to it. He hasn't shown much this year. It's been pretty ugly when he's healthy, but I think he'll definitely rebound. I got to imagine he does better than last year's performance. He hit like close to 300 last year, but...
I think he hit 15 homers last year.
Yeah, so I feel like... I mean, I think he'll get over 20 homers, but... If he could stay healthy. Yeah. I mean, I think safe bet is he spent another 15 days on the DL at some point. He's got the back issues, and that never ends well.
Okay, stop. You know, I just wanted a simple answer. He kills me already.
No simple answers.
You know, the wound is wide open. Just pour the salt in. Jesus, Murphy. So he's not a buy low then, Gray?
Ryan Zimmerman?
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy him low. I'm hoping he turns it around. I hope he hits 300 with 20 homers from my mouth to Giancarlo's ears. We'll see.
Yeah, I'd put him at like eighth round value. Oh. If you could trade someone at eighth round value for him. Okay. Sure.
Drew Stubbs or Ryan Zimmerman?
I like Stubbs.
Ugh. God.
Yeah, so do I.
Wow. Right,
that was a layup. Matt Latos or Ryan Zimmerman?
I think that's a fair trade. I'd take Latos by a little.
Really?
I think Latos feels like he has that potential to break out. But I think that'd be a fair trade. Latos is like an eighth round pick. Right.
But isn't the gamble with Zimmerman that you just hope he has four more healthy months? Is the upside, I mean, is that not worth Drew Stubbs?
Well, no. I mean, the
Drew
problem
Stubbs,
is that
15 homers and, you know, 25, 30 steals is pretty valuable, even if he hits 250. Ryan Zimmerman, the problem is he's not always healthy.
But he had that one year in like 2009 where he just, he had a great, you know, he hit the 3,100. That's like, you know, that it's still, you know, it's back to being an important mark. And since then, I mean, last year his stats are really mediocre. I mean, look at it. I called him up. You know, 440 at bats, 12 homers, 50 RBIs. I mean, obviously the RBIs are a little bit more team dependent, but I'm not convinced that even if he stays healthy, he's going to be great. I think he'll be good.
All right.
If you need the third baseman, go for it. But I mean, I wouldn't trade Moustakas straight up for Zimmerman.
Oh God. I'm just heavily invested in him, so this is just killing me slowly. So,
ride it out. But.
Yeah,
me too, Nick. I feel your pain.
Or basically try to trade him for eighth round. Sound like eighth round value.
I need to go to the mailbag. Okay.
Hey, talk to the guy with Moustakas.
I'll talk to the guy with Hosmer.
No.
Okay, Hosmer or Zimmerman?
I'd take Zimmerman over Hosmer.
Oh my God.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have as much Hosmer hate, but
all right, we need to cheer up right now.
Hosmer's, I think, hitting the second worst in the entire league.
All right, enough.
Right,
okay,
in front
here we
of
go.
Ricky Weeks.
It's positive time. We're gonna change energy on the show right now. We're gonna dip into the mailbag. First email today is from Pedro from Pittsburgh. And Pedro says, hey, Gray, that McCutcheon fella you liked in the preseason is doing A-OK, ain't he? Just wondering why you couldn't pick a Pittsburgh Pirate to succeed last year. So, Gray, I think Pedro just wants to know.
Oh, Pedro. Leave me alone.
How good is McCutch this year? Because the Dread Pirate
I vote
is...
I for Pedro not to write any more emails. Yeah, McCutcheon.
McCutcheon's doing well.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Pedro. It's good.
Yeah.
Good leading question. Like, no, but write an essay answering, is the sky blue? Like, yeah, McCutcheon's doing well. Okay.
Okay, but can he? I mean, because he's hitting really well. You know, he's on pace for, you know, close to 30-30. All right, let me rephrase the question. Sorry, Pedro's going to rephrase the question. What are the odds that McCutcheon goes 30-30?
No. 27-32. Booyah!
Yeah, I'd give him like a 33%. Okay. 2-1 odds.
Thank you for answering the question.
But, I mean,
correctly.
He's totally got the potential. I mean, he's hitting for the last, was it, couple of weeks. He's been on fire with power.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we'll see. I mean, yeah, 2-1 odds.
Okay,
it's out there, people.
by September 29th.
All right, I know that we've talked a little bit the last couple of weeks about Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, so we'll just touch on this quickly, but how is Mike Trout only 70% owned? I mean, that's going to be a direct correlation to abandoned public leagues, right?
Because ESPN's giving all their pub to Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they limit their percentages only to like the top 10% of leagues.
Oh, I actually,
to avoid this kind of thing.
I don't get my percentage numbers from ESPN.
Trout's number one on our 7-day hitter player rater.
Which I mean, find at rasball.com.
Yeah, Trout's been amazing. I'm still reveling in picking him for $4 in our AL only. It almost takes care of the pain of picking Borjos at 18. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no... I think the power is surprising me with Trout. I don't think he's going to sustain the power. You know, I think maybe, you know, I think 10 homers rest of the way would be, is kind of, maybe, is about,
he's a,
pretty,
he's a,
really.
Yeah, he's a 12 to 15 homer.
But he's fast, and so far, at least, he's shown pretty good stolen base acumen. I mean, those are two different skills. Anyone who's a Yankee fan and ever watched Bernie Williams could know that it's like speed doesn't get you stolen bases all the time. I'd say even Borjos last year, because Borjos is crazy fast. I don't understand how he didn't have 40 to 50 stolen bases last year.
Well, it's a conservative coach.
And Trout's already got it. So
it's like CD's Escobar.
Exactly. So I see like 10 homers, 30 stolen bases, and maybe like a 270 average. He's definitely hitting, but I mean, they're pretty much committed. If he sustains that, he's hitting first in that lineup. He'll get his runs. I mean, I'd say right now he's a third outfielder in a 12-team league.
Okay, so what's Harper then, Gray?
Harper's overhyped at this point, right? I mean, he's got two homers and two steals through 80 at bats. What is that pro rate to? About 15-15?
Sure. Bunch of triples though too.
He's I don't know. You're watching ESPN to stay current on some American slang? I don't know. Bryce Harper's just hyped. That's all he is.
Yeah,
I mean, he's 19 years old. In 2 years, he could be 30-30 guy. So, in keeper leagues, he's insane. But right now, in redraft leagues, he's not much of anything.
Yeah, fourth or fifth, maybe like fifth outfielder right now. But
yeah,
he has. I mean, yeah, oodles of potential. But so did Colby Rasmus, and he hasn't done jack shit for 2 years.
Okay, let's say your team needs pitching, and you get offered Max Scherzer for Bryce Harper. Do you take that, Rudy?
Oh, man, I got Max Scherzer in one league. That's enough. yeah, If I need pitching,
he's Scherzer frantic. Scherzer frantic. Bipolar.
Yeah. If I really need pitching, the thing is, Scherzer's gonna give you the K's, and he's had some bad luck in there, so I'd probably take that. I think I'd take Scherzer for Harper right
what
now.
What about you, Gray? Take Scherzer or Harper?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Scherzer has the ability to be a number 2 to 3, where Harper, I think we're seeing what we're going to get.
So there you go, Razzball Nation. Sell high right now on Bryce Harper. And just send the highlight videos from ESPN to the guy that you're attempting to make that deal with.
Or sell hologram Harper. That would be good. Why don't they have hologram Harpers? And that would be interesting, a baseball hologram. Can they do that, like the hologram Tupac? Is that possible?
I don't know, but that sounds a lot like ghostwriting to me.
Ghostwriting.
Yeah, I don't know if you build like a stadium in like Iowa, and then just have holograms.
Hologram, yeah, I like that. In a grass field.
You just gave away my $1 billion idea. Thanks, assholes.
Field of holograms is fantastic.
Yeah, you do. You have 9 Bryce Harpers. I was thinking you'd do a hologram Jackson 5 tour, but it's like 5 stages of Michael Jackson rather than all the different Jacksons.
Oh, the five different
stages. Five different incarnations of Michael Jackson, yeah.
All right, I've got another picture for her.
I think there'd be a problem. I think the latest one would molest the first one.
Oh. Allegedly.
I'll be there in your pants.
All right, let me give you another Harper for pitcher trade, but then I want to expand on the pitcher. But just give me the quick answer first. Gray, would you rather have Josh Johnson or Bryce Harper?
Josh Johnson, definitely.
Rudy?
Josh Johnson.
Okay, Gray, expand on Josh for me, because he's been terrible this season. I know he's starting to warm up, but talk about a guy with injury issues. He kind of reminds me, he's like a pitching version of Ryan Zimmerman as far as I'm concerned.
He's has like 3 starts in a row now where he's been solid. I don't know, the glass on the window for Josh Johnson, the window for selling him is closed, and I think the glass is just clean. you're thinking it's still open. I think Josh Johnson is already, that's gone. You can't buy him, I don't think you can buy him low anymore.
He's Bryce Harper, yeah.
No, Josh Johnson, I mean, if you drafted Josh Johnson and you just got his last 3 starts and you see him looking good, you're not going to be like, hey, wait a minute, I drafted him for the awful Josh Johnson.
You might have a crush.
Why is he good now?
You might have a crush on Bryce Harper. I don't know.
I don't really.
But
see
we're
it.
Just saying.
Josh Johnson is. I think he's righted the ship. Basically, is what I'm saying.
When he's healthy, he's awesome.
So, rest of the season, would you put him as a top 15 starting pitcher?
If he's healthy.
Great, Rudy.
If he's healthy, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Listen. Fair enough. Apparently, that's a one-sided debate, and I'm on the wrong side of it. So I know you mentioned Peter Borgia.
What do you think of welfare reform?
So we don't talk politics on this show, okay? We just
politics or Hosmer. We don't talk about this too.
God.
When are we going to talk about Brett Lowry, man? Your boy.
I haven't brought him up in a while. Did you want to discuss the helmet tossing incident? Or I mean, that's old news now.
Yeah,
he went drunk Hulk. Yeah. Go ahead, talk about it. Speak on it, Rudy.
Yeah, I don't like these youngsters. You think they could run down the first on 3-1 pitches that are like a foot off the plate? Yeah, it was. He totally got hosed on it. It was ridiculous. So the ump's in the wrong, but are you kidding me? Hit it like the helmet throwing. He should have got 10 games. You can't hit the ump with a piece of your equipment, whether accident or not, and not get 10 games. That was the biggest admission that ump was way offline in calling that a ball. But that was
I just
still,
thought of yeah. something. What if the when I was in grade school, I used to like play with my nose hairs to make myself sneeze. Wonder, could you like stand real close to the ump and do that and sneeze on him? Would you get ejected for that?
That's funny, actually.
I think you know who could have done that? Jim Eisenreich. You can't eject me.
You can't eject him if he curses at you.
It was brilliant.
it's the best ploy in the history of baseball.
If you don't know who Jim Eisenreich is, you're gonna have to Google for that one. I'm throwing out the Google quiz now.
What if you don't know?
We're sponsored by Google, people. you wouldn't believe it.
What if you don't know what Google is? How do you find out?
All right, come on. We did that joke last week. All right. Listen, speaking...
It gets better with age.
Speaking of guys who like to go to first after they've decided it's a ball, Jose Bautista has actually started to heat up in Toronto, Brett Laurie's teammate. You know, I live in Toronto, so I follow a lot of the Toronto media, and a lot of people thought that, you know, hey, have people figured out Jose Bautista? But it looks like he may have made a couple corrections. Where do you see Jose Bautista going the rest of the season, Rudy?
Right now, I think last year's average was too high. I think like 240, 250 on the average, but 25 homers rest away, I could see. He still seems dialed in on the power. I think he was I feel bad. He should have been a strong buy low candidate a couple weeks ago. I just think,
I think the last year after the All-Star break was scaring people as well, because he wasn't doing that well, I think, in the last 2 months of the season. So they were like, well, is this just carrying over? The buy low was tough.
We were talking before about how Mike Stanton was such an obvious buy low because no park can contain him, but... Yeah, he scares you because of his knee.
Right, he scares because of the knee, and then you see like the shot he hit off the scoreboard, and you're like, wait, he doesn't even have to step into the pitch. He just swings.
No, yeah, there's something to be said about not being scared, just making bold trades.
So, okay, well...
We're not that type, we're lovers. We're not courageous.
You're trying to throw some...
I don't think it has anything to do with being lovers, to be like, not brave.
We're like Kate... What do they call... We're Band-Aids, man. We're like Kate Hudson in Almost Famous.
Listen, man...
We'll nurture. They'll get there.
Is that how you close the deal with the ladies, Rudy? I'll give you some sweetener.
Boys have crushes on us.
I'll add some sweetener. All right. Well, listen. I offered this trade last week before Bautista started hitting again. I actually offered, and I want to talk about this guy, Brandon Beachy, in a 1-year league for Jose Bautista straight up, and it was summarily rejected. Would you rather have rest of the season? Brandon Beachy or Gio Gonzalez? Two pitchers off to great starts, Gray.
No, Gio, definitely. His K rate is, I think, around 10.5, 11, and Beachy's is around 6. This isn't just because Beachy's getting hit tonight. I think Gio, if he can control his walks, he could be a top 10 starter this year. 200 plus Ks, he'll have to get some run support / win karma, but yeah, he could have a really great year. A little bit under 3 ERA is possible. Beachy, I think, also could have, I think he'll be around the same with ERA and WHIP, but his Ks are going to be a little bit lower.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, we've been pretty big Beachy fans. We drafted him early in one league. I've got Beachy in RCL. Gray's got Gio, and Gio's just been amazing so far in the NL. He's cured his walk rate, which had been his ugliest trait in Oakland. I think Gio over Beachy right now, because Gio seems a lot more sustainable. I can't believe how low Beachy's ERA and WHIP has been able to do with, you know, a rather pedestrian K rate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
His I think his FIP is pretty. I think it's over 4. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still like Beachy. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Those I like both.
But and I would have been pissed if someone got and if someone was able to get Bautista for Beachy in one of my leagues, I would not be happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been happy at all. That's a ridiculous trade. I'm assuming you offered that to the guy who's a little bit slow in your league.
No, I offered it to Arce, who you know what? Yeah, we'll just move on.
Yeah.
His name's Arce, so we'll leave it at that.
Here's a poem. Art or Arce?
Arce.
Here's a poem. Here's a poem for Gio. I got a poem for Gio Gonzalez. Okay. Those are red, violets are Azales. When I look at my team, I'm glad I drafted Gio Gonzalez. I just came up with that. Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, Nick.
Wubba be ass. Yeah.
I am the first person to coin him Nat Geo. I did it a year before the trade. A year before the trade, I'm like, you should get traded to the Nationals to call him Nat Geo. And they get traded to the Nationals.
And that's Reed Rasbol. They're like, you know what? That is pithy.
Just love listening to Gray Rap.
Billy Bean's a big fan.
Yeah. K-Rate Schmayrate. I'm going with pithy. Nat Geo works. Get him here.
Hey, let me ask you about another pitcher. What about Bud Norris in Houston, who has been on fire recently? I mean, he's pitching so well. It's like he's trying to get traded at the deadline so he doesn't have to play in the AL West against Texas next year. Where does Bud Norris finish rest of the season as a starting pitcher, Rudy?
Yeah, he's shown, he's been able to keep the ERA under 4 last year and a half. He's had good K rates. Houston's exceeded expectations greatly. I think Norris in a 12-team league is still a borderline. He's a fifth or sixth starter. I mean, I think he finished the rest of the way with, let's just say, 6 wins.
Wins sounds about. I'd say 6 wins is the over under for.
Yeah, I mean, I had him maybe for 8 for the year. like a 3.5 ERA and maybe an uglier WHIP than a usual, maybe like 1.3 WHIP.
Who gets more wins, Tyler Clippard or Bud Norris?
That's true. Clippard's got the vibe. Oh, but by the way, it's about to go to the bottom of the ninth with Washington up by 3 runs.
Who's coming in?
I don't. And all 3 of the guys haven't pitched yet.
One guy for each out. Perfect.
Yeah. Here comes the pitching change. This is live, folks. You're not hearing it live.
All right.
Tyler Clippard's coming in.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come back to Davey, the Washington.
Davey Johnson said it was going to be a committee, so that means 3 guys are pitching at once.
And that's how you know this stuff's live, because we would have just said it was going to be Tyler Clippard and then pretended we got it right. We have no fucking idea what Davey Johnson is.
You know what?
He's all right, hold on. 70s.
Hey. Stop. Everyone just stop. Breathe.
I don't know. I'm just going to come up with a 3-headed closer. I already did the 2-headed one in New York. With 3.
I need a shock collar for you, Rudy.
Take that, nasty boys.
Here's the warning piece. All right. Okay, I wasn't going to go to the bullpens yet, but there isn't a lot to discuss. So who do you guys think is going to wind up being the closer? I'm Rudy, you're on timeout. Gray, who's going to close the rest of the year, or at least for the time being for Washington?
Oh, Storen's going to get the most saves this year for Washington.
Okay.
Is that what you were asking, or who's closing right now? If Clippard just came into the game, I'm taking Clippard. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Same thing, Rudy? You're off timeout, Rudy.
Yeah, Clippard's the best pitcher. Clippard and Storen are about equal. So,
and I think the key thing here is that the two save leaders in Major League Baseball are Jim Johnson and Fernando Rodney. So obviously the Mayans were right.
it's been a crazy year.
It's been an odd year.
And I also want to throw this out there, because Dusty Baker just sometimes sounds like a crazy old man sitting on his front porch. But he said that Aroldis Chapman is not going to be used as a regular closer. I mean, what the fuck does that mean?
You can't. Don't try and understand Dusty
Baker. That's one level. If you what you have to understand Davey Johnson first before you can start understanding Dusty Baker.
Quantum physics or Dusty Baker. I'm going quantum physics.
Yeah.
Easier to understand.
You need a PhD to understand Dusty Baker. You got there's years, there's theses you have to write.
You gotta do a toothpick 101.
That's where it starts.
Toothpick 101. All right, listen, there's one more thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to fire off some names to you guys. I know this sounds ridiculous, but let's just say hypothetically Baltimore stays in the race. Dylan Bundy just got moved because he was so dominant in single A. Is there any chance, if the O's are in the race, that we see either Dylan Bundy or Manny Machado, Rudy?
Not Machado, because a shortstop isn't going to have that much impact, but I think back to when Tampa Bay had their first real year and how they used David Price out of the pen. If Bundy's got filthy stuff, I could totally see him, you know, being in the pen for the September and into the playoffs.
What about you, Gray?
I don't see it. I look at from I think 2000 or 2002 to around 2008, the Orioles had they drafted 4 first round pitchers, and only one of them is in the big leagues right now, and he had the worst ERA in the history of baseball last year.
Hey, so, Brian Mattis, awesome.
I'm not saying Bundy's going to flop, but I don't think he's coming into the major leagues this year.
Okay, fair enough. So listen, what we're going to do, guys, here, just to wrap up the show, I'm going to throw out some names, and you know, it doesn't have to be one word, but just a quick summary of if you like him rest of the season. Right now, Gray, Justin Smoke is heating up. He's only 10% owned. Is he worth the headache?
I really like Smoke a lot if he's not playing in Safeco. So on road games or road trips or extended road trips, like last week when he was in Coors, blah, 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 yeah, I like Smoke then.
Rudy?
He's okay. I hope you have better on your team.
Okay.
If you don't, then yeah.
Okay, Rudy, then
he's the best you got.
What about Saltalamacchia? Only 25% owned and hitting great.
Oh, yeah. He's... yeah, I mean, I think he's been showing real power. I think he's on his way to 20 homers. So I still wouldn't. I wouldn't. You know, he has a few bad games. I would still trade him for the next hot catcher.
Who would you go with, Avila or Salty?
Right now, Salty.
Well, I know right now, but would you drop Avila?
I'd take Avila.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. Probably no. I'd keep Avila. Okay. There's got to be 5 or 6 catchers that you can't drop, like a McCann and a Santana. But
you mean Mauer's droppable?
And Montero who? But Miguel Montero with his bad with his gimpy groin or something. Yeah, I'd if he doesn't go in the DL and Miguel Montero's banged up for a week or two, I'd probably drop him for Saltalamacchia in a shallow league.
All right, 2 more. Gray, what about Alcides Escobar? Turning into a nice little shortstop option, and he's less than 40% owned?
Yeah, I'd own him. On, you know, if while he's hot, sure, definitely. He's got good speed.
Rudy, Alcides?
Yeah, while he's... I do it only if I'm desperate for speed. I'm not a big fan of his. Right now, I'd take Elliot Johnson over him.
Really? Yeah, I would take Elliot Johnson too.
Wow.
I also yesterday I picked up Zach Cozart, and guess who homered today? Yeah. What's up? And we're recording this at 3 in the afternoon, and I don't even know that he's about to homer. So, time traveler.
Oh shit! Where was I going to go? I had a question off that, and I can't think of it now. So let me give you the last guy. Wells is out for a while. Hunter's banged up. Peter Borjos, not a great season, but he's got great speed, like you brought up earlier, Rudy. Is he worth stashing?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I think he is, especially out as you get a little deeper than 12-team leagues. He's got solid power. I mean, last year, if you really look at his stuff from last year, it was really promising. I think he could easily go prorated 10 homer, 30 stolen base if he gets to play. That thumb injury by Wells, you know, was pretty fortunate for that team. I think couldn't ask for much more aside from some idiot trading Napoli for him, taking his contract.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Gray, what do you think about Borges?
Yeah, while Wells is out and while Wells is banged up and Hunter is you're not supposed to use Hunter and banged up in the same sentence. Excuse, it's alleged. It's alleged at this point with Hunter. I'd take him. Borges.
That should be the official motto of Razzball Baseball Podcast. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, I'd allegedly take him.
Let me ask you guys one last question. We'll wrap this up. But I'm just curious. Because, you know, in the post-steroid era, we're seeing so many guys with great speed coming into the leagues, great steal options, and especially this year, the way closers have worked out. I know, you know, we're talking Sagnoff, but how do you even evaluate that at this point?
How do you evaluate what?
I mean,
what?
Okay,
this,
sorry.
I didn't even understand the question.
Sorry, that was...
Wait, is this Pedro again? What?
Sorry, this question is from Alyssa in Hollywood. How do you properly evaluate what steals are worth today and saves? Because it's already a crapshoot, and now it seems like it's even more of a crappier crapshoot.
So I could tell you, saves are really predictable year to year. So they're valued the same. The challenge is, I think the challenge is that guys keep rotating in and out. And that's a bit of the challenge, that guys are less predictable. So, you know, I wouldn't value saves any more or less than in the past. Stolen bases, I don't know. It does feel, I'd have to do the math, but it does feel like there's a few more stolen bases. The stolen base rates are a little bit higher than in years past. But, I think you're still looking at it that, 30 to 40 stolen bases are your Sagnoff guys. And anything above that's gravy.
Gravy.
Yeah. And the key with the stolen base is that, you know, if all they're really good at is stolen bases and maybe runs, you really want to keep that in your middle infield. The the Tony Campanas of the world are great, you know, in maybe really deep leagues, but they're just brutal when it comes to the power numbers you want out of your shallow league outfielders.
Yeah, fair enough. I can vouch for that. Campanas, I've had him in the 12 team league for a little bit now, and my RBIs are just dying a slow death, and my homers aren't doing much better either because I'm basically punting those categories with Campana.
Yeah. Right. It's the reason why, you know, Pierre always came at a discount, and I'm not sure why some people thought Michael Bourne shouldn't come at that same discount going into the year.
Fair enough. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. All right, well, listen, gentlemen, that was another great episode of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Arse, I'm just kidding, man. You're great to deal with. Rudy, Gray, thanks so much.
We're gonna get a hologram Nick.
I don't know how many places I'd fit. All right, guys, thanks for another great episode. That, ladies and gentlemen, does it for this week's podcast. We will be back again next week. Don't forget, check out Razzball.com every single day for better health. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.